From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a moment, detecting pancreatic cancer before it's too late. The Super Bowl's over, but Dallas hosted another kind of contest this weekend, one with international implications. The third annual Old Parkland Debate Tournament featured high school and college debaters from across the U.S. and teams from several countries. Bill Zeeble caught up with the Cambridge University team before they beat the Oxford University debaters to claim the college division win.
Members of the Cambridge University debate team from England say they debate for different reasons. Some are interested in law and politics, and debate is great training for thinking and arguing on your feet. But that wasn't George Clay's reason.
I got into it because I loved acting at my primary school, discovered I was not particularly talented at that when I got to secondary school, and debate seemed like a good substitute.
Debate's not theater, but Clay says the two have a lot in common.
Intense degrees of emotional manipulation, being profoundly disingenuous all the time, and doing it all in front of audiences who think you're cleverer than you are. It's an excellent hobby.
Mohammed Asadullah Khan, who goes by Asad, fell in love with the tough topics and intellectual rigor debate requires. Plus, he could explore topics not easy to pursue in his native Pakistan.
Debating forced me to think a lot about some of the things that my society teaches you in a very dogmatic fashion, things such as religion, politics, things ranging from abortion to gay marriage, something that was never really debated in society. But when you enter into debating, it forces you to think about a lot of things that otherwise you don't get an opportunity to do so.
These debaters also like being around others who do the same thing. James Risley from Australia says the camaraderie and competition come from learning tricks of the trade.
It's true that you don't know the topic that you're about to debate, but most debates aren't the result of fresh ideas and innovative thought. If you've debated the same issue a couple of times, you realize that lots of things that are said in debates we pluck out of other debates as well. So often it's more rehashing old ideas and thinking of how they apply to this topic. Like, debaters are basically plagiarizing themselves constantly.
Risley says, win or lose, debaters always learn something.
My coach back at school had quite a useful maxim, which was, if you haven't won, very clearly you haven't won at all. Because if it was messy, that was your fault, and you just need to try and do better the next time.
And even if he's tempted to debate it, Risley knows the judge's decision is final. The next time this team debates, it'll be back home in Cambridge. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Cambridge University's George Clay won best speaker in the college division. Dallas's Greenhill debaters beat Team Canada in the high school division. Cancer of the pancreas, an organ that lies behind the lower part of your stomach, accounts for only 2% of cancers diagnosed in the U.S. each year, but it's the fifth leading cause of cancer deaths in this country. Pancreatic cancer is hard to detect early, and many patients aren't made aware of advancements in surgery that could help. Dr. Rohan Jayaraja of Methodist Dallas Medical Center talked about this for our consumer health series, Vital Signs.
Pancreatic cancer develops within one group of cells within that pancreas, because there's really two functions of the pancreas. One is that it produces enzymes that help with digestion, and the other function is it produces hormones, for example, things like insulin. The most common variety of pancreatic cancer actually comes from the group of cells that produces enzymes.
It's often not diagnosed till an advanced stage.
Tumors in the head of the pancreas tend to present a little bit earlier because they actually block the bile duct and you turn yellow. The problem with the body and the tail of the pancreas is that you present only when you've had fairly advanced signs and symptoms, usually related to abdominal pain. Oftentimes, we need a CAT scan to figure out what we're dealing with.
Most times, it seems, when someone is announced as having pancreatic cancer, people tend to view it not unlike a death sentence.
One of the areas that we can make a big difference is in the chemotherapy, which has got a lot better. But even the medical oncologists that deliver chemotherapy will say, please operate on this. If you can get it out, that's our best chance at a cure.
There have been advancements in surgery for pancreatic cancer.
Oh, yes. Back in the 70s and 80s, the mortality from taking out the head part of the pancreas was somewhere in the 25% range. Now, we at Methodist have a mortality that is under 2%, which is right on par or better than most other institutions in the country.
But a lot of patients still aren't afforded that option of surgery.
So one of the things that we really believe in is that everyone should touch the patient with pancreatic cancer, the medical oncologist, the radiologist, the pathologist, the radiation oncologist, the gastroenterologist, and the surgeon in order to make a multidisciplinary decision on what should be done next. Because sometimes in something that may not be able to be taken out at the time of presentation, we can do some things to shrink it enough that maybe we could take it out after some chemotherapy or radiation therapy.
And why aren't patients learning about these options?
Because of the fact there is a lot of preconceived notions, and this is among doctors too. Patient has pancreatic cancer, why bother doing anything further because the outcomes are so poor? But we do have survivors.
What are some of the advancements, though, in surgery for pancreatic cancer?
It's really some of the things that we do in the operating room, some of the tools that are available. We have some automation of devices that helps. One of the energy devices that we have that can help control bleeding, techniques that we have to actually replace some of the blood vessels, which we could not do before. And then some minimally invasive techniques that have come onto the market that are advancements, but we have to be very careful in using them very thoughtfully.
In the meantime, risk factors for pancreatic cancer?
Smoking is probably the greatest risk factor. We do have some familial presentations where a first-degree relative has died. And we don't know the genes that are involved as yet. And we're looking at early detection and actually screening in some of those family members that may be at extraordinarily high risk.
Well, I was going to ask you, how should one go about trying to prevent pancreatic cancer? So obviously smoking's at the top of the list.
And then, you know, healthy lifestyle, eating, caffeine, overweight, those kind of things are always helpful.
Dr. Jayaraja, thank you for being with me.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Dr. Rohan Jayaraja is with the Surgical Oncology Program at Methodist Dallas Medical Center. The Texas Music Office has a new leader, and he starts today under Governor Greg Abbott. Brendan Anthony played fiddle for Texas singer-songwriter Pat Green, most recently at an election night party in honor of Abbott. Anthony replaces music writer Casey Monahan, who served in the music office post since its inception in 1990. According to the Texas Tribune, Anthony is a buddy of Abbott's chief of staff, Daniel Hodge, who bumped into each other often in the Austin music scene. A couple of other shuffles announced Friday. The governor's office named Brian Daniel as the new director of the Economic Development and Tourism Division. In his job, Daniel will now oversee the Texas Film Commission, the Texas Music Office, the Women's Commission, and the Workforce Investment Council. This is part of restructuring under the new governor's office. Daniel most notably worked in President George W. Bush's administration as the Texas State Director of Rural Development for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And since Love Field's passenger traffic shot up more than 40% this year, developers are looking to build hotels nearby. The Dallas Morning News reports one group aims to add an 8-story hotel at Mockingbird and Forest Park Road in the West Love mixed-use development. The more than $40 million project in a loft elemental hybrid is proposed by Atlantic Hotels Group and Civitas Capital Group. The developers are seeking up to $5 million in tax increment finance district funding, according to filings with the City of Dallas's Economic Development Committee. The hotel project is scheduled to begin before the end of the year. Look for sunny skies today. Temperatures should get up to 43 this afternoon, then drop to 32 overnight. It's 25 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.